Welcome to Game Changers Live, the digital town square where we meet the marketing leaders who are creating the future of communications in America. I'm your host, Dennis Troianos. Game Changers Live is sponsored by the Troianos Group, innovation in executive search and consulting in the marketing arena. Now, let's start the discussion with today's very special guest. Today I'm joined by Ian Baer, the Chief Strategy Officer of Roxa. Welcome to Game Changers Live.
Thanks, Dennis. I appreciate it.
I'm also joined by my co-host and my colleague and my partner, Norman Sherman.
Good morning.
We're going to start with a couple of basic questions, Ian, and we'll just have a broad general discussion about Roxa and the future of advertising. What does the Roxa brand stand for, and how does it differentiate itself from the many competitors that are literally just in this neighborhood down here in the Wall Street and Tribeca area?
Well, I think Roxa has always stood for a very creative approach to accountable marketing. So if you go back to the roots of Roxa as a direct marketing agency started about 12 years ago, the mission has never changed. We are here to make our clients successful by helping them acquire, engage, retain, and grow their customer bases. And I think we differentiate more than anything by an independent spirit that really puts the client's success ahead of everything else. And that just comes from our leader and founder and permeates all the way through the organization.
Dennis used the term integrated marketing agencies, right? Is that still a term that you use today? And if it's not, what do you use?
We use it. I mean, look, for a while I was referring to integration as the I word because everyone seemed to have a different angle on it. It seemed to mean different things. And in some cases, it's even used to just refer to the process of integrating multiple touch points. When we say integrated marketing, we really mean by any means necessary. One of the things that we've really strive to make happen here at Roxa is the ability to go truly channel agnostic to help clients reach accountable marketing goals. So if integrated means we can do anything it takes to touch a customer and motivate them to buy or stay or buy more or tell their friends or socialize a brand, then we're integrated.
But so interestingly, the holy grail for most marketing communications firms is really being able to tell a story that works hand in hand with one another, irrespective of what channel you're using.
That's right.
What is it that you do here that enables you to be successful at that?
Well, integration, I think, has to happen systemically for an agency to do it right. And, you know, rightly or wrongly, I've been with a lot of agencies over the years. And the approach to integration is all too often, we want to get into digital, so let's start a digital division. We want to get into direct, we'll start a direct division. Now everyone has a social media division. And actually, when it's a separate division, a couple of things happen that almost destroys your chance for success. The first is, because it's operating as a separate practice from the core of the organization, it doesn't permeate what's happening in the other areas of the company, and change doesn't occur. You simply have a bunch of freaky kids in the basement who are doing something different. Because you have the bunch of freaky kids in the basement, there's a second thing that happens, which is you don't get the best talent. Because nobody wants to be in a two or three or four person startup division of an integrated agency that's decided this is the flavor of the month. So you wind up attracting, I hate to say this, second rate talent, because the top talent wants to work with the agencies that are innovating in that space. And the only way you can keep innovating in all spaces is to fully integrate the practice, which means integrated strategy, integrated creative, integrated account people. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Ian, you're the Chief Strategy Officer for Roxa.
Yes.
How would you describe your charter in this role? What do you do every day that makes your job not only unique and special, but exciting?
Well, I was fortunate enough to be able to create that charter because I originated the role at Roxa. And my vision was very much along the lines of what I was explaining, the ability to integrate all of it. And that means we get to be the leaders of the ideation process.
Mm-hmm.
So in a lot of ways, it's detective work, because we are the owners of the insight generation process, whether that's primary research, secondary research, the use of online listening and monitoring tools. Most importantly, the ability to sort through that and synthesize it and understand which insights are valuable. I can't stand when I see marketing presentations, whether it's a case study at a conference or if I see work that, you know, an agency does, God forbid we ever do it, where you're just flooding the recipient with, here's everything I know, and it's almost like a show-off contest. You know, this isn't Trivial Pursuit. About 5 to 10% of the information that we dig up in an average client assignment is actually useful and pertinent. And I think what makes our strategy practice here so solid is our ability to push aside the insights that aren't useful and focus on the ones that are going to make our clients money.
So that's really interesting, right? I understand the point that you're making about flooding people, particularly creative people, with a litany of things, and they can't deal with it, right?
Right.
So the challenge is almost, I think, what you're saying, to distill it down into that one nugget, that one piece of magic that can be the catalytic converter for what the creative people do, right?
Absolutely. We try to bring everything down here to what we call a manifesto.
Is there anything that you can talk about which is not proprietary that might give us a good example of this in action?
I don't know if you know WellCare. They're a managed care organization. They do business in 13 U.S. states. And their core mission has always been sort of at the lowest end of the socioeconomic ladder in the Medicare and Medicaid space for people who really cannot afford health care. And they're provided a certain level of benefit by the government, but they also tend to be our most overlooked citizens. They're greatly in need of healthcare, and they tend to be underserviced. So we got into it a bit with WellCare, and they were looking to reinvent the brand in addition to making all of their direct marketing work a lot harder. And what we looked at was, you know, in this category, everyone's saying the same thing. Everyone's using the same imagery. In fact, if wherever you're listening to this now, if you're near a computer, just start looking at a few Google Medicaid and look at some, or Medicare, actually even better, look at some websites of companies that offer Medicare Advantage plans, and let me know when you find one that does not include a picture of old people smiling with trees in the background. There's something about trees in the background that I guess is supposed to indicate, you know, life and renewal, but everyone is using the same words. And even the visual language of the brands is all the same. And WellCare was following that route because that was considered the path to success. And we had to boil it down to, what's the one thing that makes you different? And in the end, for them, the one thing that makes them different is whatever anybody else is offering in the marketplace, they're actually offering more. And while more tends to be a difficult, sustainable advantage, right, because anyone can always one-up you, when you've got a 20-year dedication to looking at what everyone else is doing and saying, for these people who are paying nothing for healthcare, we're going to give them dentistry when nobody else in the market is offering dentistry. We're going to be, you know, they were even the first Medicare plan to approve Viagra in their formulary. Like, they take into account the whole person. So we made everything about the notion of being well cared for. And instead of it just being their name, we made that a branded promise that when you are well cared for, here's what it means, and it means we care for the whole person, et cetera.
Great example.
That is a great example, which kind of segues into my next question, which is, what kinds of clients does Roxo work with, and how would you describe the ideal client profile, the client that ought to be working with Roxo?
Boy, that's a great question. So we work with a really diverse set of clients, but clearly it's clients who put accountable results at the top of the list that are going to find their way to us. And they're the ones that we look for because we're so proud of our dedication to delivering results. And we'll do it in very creative ways. We know that's where we'll be the most successful. If our mission is to make our clients heroes to their organizations and to their shareholders and, frankly, even to their consumers, then we want to find clients who really value that approach to accountability and results. I think the ideal client is the one who lets us in as a business partner, not just a marketing services firm. And I was once asked that very directly in a final pitch meeting, and my response was, the way I will know that you value me as a business partner and not just as a marketing agency is the first time you invite me to a meeting that has nothing to do with marketing. And I think that's the ideal client.
Talk to us about the Roxa culture and what makes this organization unique and special for you and for the people that work here, naturally.
Roxa is a special place. And that also means, frankly, it's not for everyone, and that's okay. The fact that we are an independent, woman-owned agency is a big driver of culture here. So it means everything from, again, we're not beholden to shareholders and hitting monthly numbers and the sorts of things that unfortunately do plague a lot of big agencies, right? It's you know, a dirty little secret of the agency business that plenty of agencies have to recommend things to clients based on their own business objectives ahead of the clients. We're never asked to do that here. We work for a founder and CEO who instills in us this belief that she always says, my clients are my heroes. And everyone here is expected to follow that through. The spirit of the place really is Jill Gwaltney's image as that sort of leader who always puts client success first. And that's what gets rewarded here. So if you're used to that sort of big agency culture where maybe things move a little more slowly and everything has to happen in due process, and that's not Roxa. Roxa's a little more run and gun than that, and you have to be more entrepreneurial to succeed here.
So your DNA is very client-focused, client experience DNA, which I think is something that agencies talk a lot about, but when we talk to their clients, we don't hear the same thing.
Right.
So here's a tough question for you. If we were talking to one of your clients over lunch today, and we said, what is the one greatest strength that Roxa has, what would we hear?
Well, in a recent client meeting where we were awarded a significant piece of additional business from a client that we already have. This chief marketing officer said, Roxa was chosen because they believed of all their agency partners, we were the ones who always put their business needs ahead of our own. That's right out of the client's mouth, the CMO of a major super brand. If I can just give you a short anecdote. When I first started consulting with Roxa, which was last year, I was actually on the verge of accepting a position someplace else. And I just figured I'd pick up a few days consulting work. They reached out to me. They needed some help with a digital strategy for a client. I said, great. They brought me to the client to present the strategy, which I told the folks at Roxa would be a huge mistake because their clients would probably fall in love with me and then they'd be forced to hire me. And I said it as a total joke. And look how things turn out. So when I got down to this client, I say down because we traveled down the East Coast, they're a major financial institution. And after the meeting, I got to meet a few of the clients that I had just presented a social media strategy to. And I was really taken aback by the care and the passion that they showed to create more opportunities for Roxa within their organization. And I was a little bit fascinated by that. And I continued the consulting assignment over the next week, and I got to meet another client. Actually, Roxa's biggest client, Verizon. And it was the same thing all over again. I'm talking to these people who actually seem to care about the agency's future, the agency's success. And it had been so long since I had seen that level of client love. I said, there's something really different about this place.
This is Dennis Trianos and Norman Sherman talking to Ian Baer on Game Changers Live.
A lot of agencies, they are figuratively or literally, you know, the guys down the hall, they do their own thing, they keep their own hours, they march to their own drummer, and that's fine because creative folks are wired differently. But they're much more an integrated part of the culture here. They get involved in strategy up front. You see them talking to maybe like a database strategist every now and then, because they actually want to know what sorts of insights are coming out of the data that might make their work smarter. So I think because creative is a better integrated part of the way we do things here, and because we only hire creatives who care as much about results as they do about the quality of the work, we are infused with creativity throughout, because they sit in on more meetings and are more a part of the process.
Now, many companies that we come across, especially in our world, are very focused on analytics, segmentation, and data. Where does Roxa fall in that spectrum of companies who focus on that?
Well, it's certainly a core competency of ours. We are in our 12th year, and about 8 years ago, we were asked by our largest client to help them get smarter about database marketing. So we brought on board a very senior guy at the time out of Donnelly, who is still with us, who leads our data strategy practice, Peter Powell. Peter has a brilliant gift for being at the top of the game technologically, but also being able to translate it to marketers in a way that they can easily understand, and he doesn't get lost in regression analysis and those sorts of things. You know, those are the means. He tends to focus on the reason why in the end. So it's a huge part of what we do. It's about a 20-person department here at Roxa, so that's, you know, what, 15% of our staff is one way or another in the data area. And it's everything from modeling and segmentation, predictive tools, all the way through to very sophisticated analysis. And, you know, one of the great things about having a client like the folks at Verizon is they really keep us on our toes. Every single thing we do at Roxa at some point has to attach to the sale of a very specific device, or the opening of a very specific account, or the generation of a specific Salesforce lead. So because we are held to that level of accountability, we are constantly improving the sophistication of our analytics and tracking so that we can say, the person who watched this video on YouTube bought that tablet a week later.
I'm going to change the direction of the conversation just a wee bit here and talk about the agency business and the communications business in general, right?
Sure.
And I'm sitting in front of two agency veterans. Now, when I met you guys 20 years ago, you weren't veterans, but now you're veterans all of a sudden.
I was going to say, boy, I'm at that point.
So tell us about the changing nature of the client-agency relationship. And I'm also going to ask my partner to pipe in on this as well, because he's got a unique perspective that I've heard in a variety of meetings as well.
Well, I think on both the client side and the agency side, the level of pressure is much greater than it's ever been. And pressure comes from a few places. The state of the economy, right? If you just look at the average tenure of senior marketing people, it's a lot shorter than it used to be. They are really under the gun, depending on the business you're in. Hey, if you sell cars, every weekend your job is in danger if you don't hit your numbers. So the pressure on our clients is much greater than ever. That, in turn, puts a lot more pressure on the agency. So the state of the economy is one factor. I think technology creates a whole different level of expectation and pressure as well. You know, when I started in this business, and it pains me to admit this, but there was this thing behind the reception desk that was under a dust cover, and somebody said it was called a facsimile machine, but nobody really knew how to use it. You would send, if you had an out-of-town client, you would FedEx the copy to the client, and you know, at some point the next day the client would receive it, and you might talk about it over the phone. Now, the expectation of 24/7 ability to take direction, turn on a dime, is much greater. So, again, that pressure, I know it's on my clients as much as it is on our teams here. So I think it's just much more pressured, and as a result, it's more tenuous and more easily fractured.
Norm, how would you respond?
So I want to postulate something and see how you respond to it. Back in the day, agencies were really marketing partners with their clients. As time has gone on, for a variety of reasons, some of which you turned on, agencies have tended to become much more vendors of execution, and commoditize them what it is that they do. But to the degree that here at Roxa, everything you do is accountable, you can really tie in to what it is that the clients are being held responsible for. Do you find that taking an approach like that is something that helps you build client relationships, build tenure and stickiness with your business, and get you out of a vendor role?
It's a great question. We had a recent conversation with somebody at an existing client, I don't want to name the client, who we don't work with. This individual has his own agency relationship that he, you know, I can appreciate, is very protective of, and has, while all the other people in his organization give us lots of work, he's never given us any. And he sat down with us recently and he said, you know, I was looking over the reports that you're doing for this other division, and as much as I would like to debunk what you guys are doing, the data is so undeniable, I feel like I have to start working with you. So I think very much that approach to accountability and objectivity in the end makes us a more valuable partner, and it results in really superior client retention. I've been at a lot of places that have a tough time holding on to clients, and most agencies do, again, because things are so tenuous and everyone's under so much pressure. I do think our commitment to accountability is a huge reason that clients stick around with Roxa.
Do you have an opportunity also to leverage that accountability into compensation structures?
Sometimes. We do have performance-based agreements with a handful of clients here. I think more and more it's something that clients like to talk about, but in the end they'd rather just get the lowest hourly rate that they can from us. And we try to be very flexible. Again, we're business partners, right?
Right.
So if a lower commitment and more betting on the come is necessary, we're open to that and we engage in it. But very often, especially with procurement departments, they just want to know that they're getting fair value.
Yeah.
And I think we
do
a very good job of delivering that.
We all have children. Now, Ian, I know you have more children than both Norm and I put together.
I have 5 children.
Right. Now, if your kids are anything like our kids, I've noticed that they distrust marketing and advertising.
Absolutely.
Tell us what your view is of this generation and the challenges of this generation of messaging to them, communicating to them, and how that code is going to be cracked in this upcoming era.
Well, I have a philosophical opposition to lying. But beyond, you know, moralizing, it's just a real pain in the butt to lie, because you always have to remember, what did I tell this one, what did I tell that one? And the same rules apply in marketing to an extent. It's much easier to tell the truth, and there's much more pressure than ever to tell the truth, because 80% of the time somebody gets interested in what we have to say on behalf of a client, they're going to go check it out with a jury of their peers online anyway. So if they dig up something about us through a consumer experience that belies the promise they just made, the whole case unravels. So we talk a lot to our clients here about what we call the 4 B's of having a successful campaign. And the last B is be true. Always tell the truth, and when we say the truth, we mean a defensible truth, where if I go to other consumers, it's not going to get undone. Only 9% of consumers believe what brands post to Facebook. 6% of consumers believe what brands post to Twitter. 31% of consumers believe total strangers. So that's where brands rank in terms of trust. Think about, you know, the last 10 total strangers you met, and that they're 5-6 times more trustworthy. We would much rather deal in truth and authenticity and collaborate with consumers to move our clients' messages rather than just shout things. We don't believe in that.
This is Dennis Troianos and Norman Sherman, and we're talking to Ian Baer of Roxa. Earlier this morning, Norm and I were at a series of meetings where the chief element of the discussion was the unique assets of agencies, and it all came down to one word, and that was talent. So I'd like to turn the conversation to talent at this moment and talk about the key traits that you look for in a Roxa team member, employee, colleague.
Sure. Yeah, talent's the one thing that can never be commoditized in this business. You can match a process, you can match a product, but the individual that we put in front of you who's responsible for whether it's ideation or managing your account or creative messaging or producing your work, that's not replicable. Again, from a Roxas standpoint, not everyone's right for this place, and this place isn't right for everyone. We do expect more from people in terms of doing whatever it takes. There's a relentlessness to the personality of a Roxan that is very different. But I think more than anything, if there is a trait that makes you a real Roxan, and it's been proven out, by the way, because we do, we use a tool called the Predicted Index.
Mm-hmm.
And we use it not necessarily to evaluate whether we should hire somebody, but we use it to figure out the best way to work with that person and the best things we can get out of them. There is one trait that consistently predicts whether you will succeed at Roxa or not. And that is that they grade you A, B, C, D, and B all has to do with your ability to communicate and persuade. And if you're not a high B, you will fail at Roxa. Roxans have to be over-the-top proficient communicators. And I think it's because of the openness of our culture, but it's also that can-do attitude, and some of it's what we project not only to our clients but to each other. This is the most positive, optimistic work environment I've ever been in, and that comes from the top of the organization, and that filters all the way down.
So you've had management positions in the past at a variety of agencies. You've hired people.
Thanks for reminding me.
People have worked for you, and some have been successful and some haven't. You've liked working with some of them. Would you say that all of the people who you worked with successfully in the past could come here and work with you successfully again, and it's more a reflection of you and what goes on between you and somebody you work with, or is it the environment that really drives the success?
I would say the vast majority of people who I've partnered with successfully could do it here, but not all. Some people, especially in this business, we can get a little jaded. And this constant, optimistic, you can do it attitude makes some people nauseous. And I appreciate that. Those people shouldn't work here. But by and large, the values that I've always cherished, people who tell the truth, people who go out of their way to make sure they know what they're doing, and people who passionately care, that's what it takes here.
We've got about 60 seconds left in this broadcast, and I've got two questions, and we'll tackle them in short order, right?
Okay.
What are the top three skill sets that you believe are essential for leadership in the agency business in general today that clients absolutely must have working on their business? And then I'll have a follow-up.
Okay, so if I have to pick three, the first would be pay attention. And when I say pay attention, the world is so constantly changing under our feet. You've got to know what the media landscape looks like for almost any consumer that you have to go to market for. Second would be keep your tool set broad and deep, because the number of necessary touch points has increased tenfold in the last few years. And I would say the third one is don't box yourself in. Be a big thinker. Come up with 100 more ideas than you need. Push yourself to unrealistic points in order to generate breakthrough solutions for clients. You know, it's funny, clients all the time ask for things that have never been done before, and then when you give them one of those, very often they'll say, show us a case where you've done this before. but I do think that constant focus on making yourself smarter so that you can ideate bigger is important.
Now, what will be the greatest area of focus for Roxa going into 2012 and beyond? Give us a little peek into the future.
Well, my greatest, or at least my favorite business quote comes from Wayne Gretzky, of all people, the greatest hockey player of all time. And when they asked Gretzky what made him so much better than anyone who has ever played that sport, and he is arguably the most dominant professional athlete within his sport ever, he said, everyone else is skating to where the puck is, I'm skating to where the puck is going to be.
All right. Well, Ian, thank you for joining us on Game Changers Live. Remember to tune in next week when we'll have another guest who's changing the game in Communications and Marketing on Game Changers Live. This is your host, Dennis Kryanos.